Before I start my presentation, let me read a disclaimer. The findings presented in this study are mine. The talk does not reflect the policy or the endorsement of CDC or Division of STD Prevention. Background, syphilis has seen many ups and downs during the last 70 years. There were about 95,000 PNS cases reported in 1946, and it dropped to around 6,400 in 1956. And then again, there's a rise in 1990, which was about 51,000. And then again, it's dropped to around 7,000 in 1998. And in 1999, Division of STD Prevention, they started a program of syphilis elimination, which means that we want to reduce the cases of primary and secondary syphilis to less than 1,000. But starting 2002, these cases starting going up again. Therefore, with this background, I wanted to find out what's going on. Therefore, I tried to build a simulation model for syphilis transmission and estimate the contribution of different stages of syphilis and show the importance of early latent syphilis in the syphilis control program and explore intervention strategies to reduce incidence of infectious syphilis. The model is a simulation model. We have different stages in the population. First is susceptible, and if the susceptible person has a sex with a person who has syphilis, the person goes to exposed stage, and then if not treated, go to the incubating stage, and not treated, then they go to primary, secondary, and so on. And after intervention, goes to the immune stage and lose immunity, and again susceptible stage, and they are reported. Therefore, with this, we build a model, and we say total reported cases of syphilis. I'm using total primary, total secondary, and total early latent, and assume that all these cases, they are treated and they are reported. And again, the proportion are similarly the total primary and secondary divided by the total cases. And total new infection are defined by new infection generated by persons treated in the respective stage, like the total infection generated by a person in the primary stage plus new infection generated by persons in secondary stage and new infection generated by persons not treated in either stage but reported in the early latent stage. And new infection would define as a reproductive number and with the usual a formula of transmission probability times the number of partners per unit time times the duration. We assume the reproductive number for primary stage is 0.9, for secondary is 1.1, and reproductive number for early latent stage is 1.2. That is, the people who are treated and reported in the primary stage, they have infected 0.9 patients, and the people who are treated and report in the secondary is 1.2, and the people who are treated and reported as early latent stage is 1.2. Then we define the expected number of primary cases as proportion treated in the previous year in the primary stage times the total newly infected cases plus any intervention or the new cases which were brought to treatment by any intervention. Similarly, the expected number of cases in the secondary will be proportion treated in the previous year as secondary times the total newly infected plus intervention in the secondary stage minus the intervention which were reported in the primary stage. Similarly, expected number of cases reported in the early latent will be a proportion treated in the previous year times the total newly infected minus patients who were reported their intervention cases in the primary stage and the number who were reported intervention in the secondary stage. Therefore, we are assuming that the primary, the early latent stage is a byproduct of primary and secondary. And these are the values of the model used in the model. The average time spent in the primary stage is 1.5 months. Average time spent in secondary is about 3 months. Early latent is less than 12 months. And average number of sex partners is 1 per month. And probability of disease transmission is 0.3 to 0.6. And percentage, percent change in sex partners at the beginning, we are assuming there's no increase, it is holding steady. And the intervention in the primary stage, we are assuming that 1% of the patient, they are brought to treatment as an intervention. And in the secondary stage, 5%. The data source, the data we used is the cases of primary and secondary case, secondary and latent cases reported CDC from 50 states and 13 project areas. And okay, this is the data. There were 12,800 cases reported in the primary stage and 15,000 in the secondary stage and 21,700 in the early latent stage. These cases, they were reported in 1986. In 1990, almost these cases, they doubled. And by the time in 1999, there was about 80% decrease. But again, in 2002, these cases started going up. These are the proportion of the cases of the total. There were 26% cases in the primary stage in 1986, and 30% in the secondary stage, and 44% reported in the early latent stage. And we see that these cases, early latent went up to 65%, and at the same time, the cases in the primary secondary, they dropped in 1997. And they started going up. Primary steady, but in the secondary, they started going up. Therefore, we use this model, we use this data and use the simulation model to simulate that what's going on, how did it happen. We use the simulation model as we described before. And these are the results. These are the expected, estimated cases of primary, secondary, and early latent. And these are the proportions of those cases. We use the similar trend here. And here those cases are reported, and estimated cases, they are plotted on the same plot. Looks like it's a good fit to me. And here are the proportion of cases, and it's not bad. Okay, the question is, again, how we get these estimates. Answer is using this simulation model. We plotted the proportions of reported cases and used the proportion and input in the model, and then we ran the model and we got the results. But again, at each iteration, we look at the result, that how good these estimates are compared with the reported cases. Okay, therefore, these are the results again. We see that from 1986 to 1990, percentage change in sex partners is increased to 11%. And the intervention in primary stage and the secondary stage remains the same, 1%, 5%. In 1991 to 1997, due to the scare of the AIDS or media intervention or whatever, those cases, they started dropping their number of sex partners. And there was a a drop of 30% in the SEC partners, and there was no increase in the intervention. Intervention remained at 1% and 5%, but in 1998 to 2005, those 30% drop was decreased to 9%, but the intervention in the primary stage increased to 6%, and the intervention in the secondary stage increased to 14%. And from 2005 to 2008, we see that the percentage in sex partners increased to 7%, increased by 7%, and intervention in the primary stage remained the same as 6%, but the intervention in the secondary stage dropped to 9%. In conclusion, early latent syphilis, as we said in the beginning, that is a barometer of syphilis control. We have seen in those two graphs that as the primary or secondary proportion goes down, early latent increases. Proportion of primary or secondary or both increases, the proportion of early latent decreases. Therefore, your program should be monitoring those proportions to see that what's going on. And they should adjust according to the proportions of those cases. You don't have to run the simulation program, but if you plot those data, you can see that what's going on in your control program. Limitation, this model is a simplified version of the disease generation process, and the parameter values are average, which may vary by gender, age, race, place, and other factors. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thanks, that was a great talk. In light of reduced resources that continue to plague STD programs, activities for early latent syphilis is usually the first thing to get cut. So while I agree with you that it could be a measure of program success, when money goes down, we usually stop interviewing early latent before we start stop interviewing primary and secondary. And I'm just wondering if you could comment on that.
Okay, my take is don't stop interviewing early latent because they are the one who infect most of the patients. Therefore, if you do that, then you may increase the screening in primary and secondary or treating more and more. But if you stop early latent, interviewing early latent, it means that your process keep on going and on and on. There are more infections. And since you are not tracking them, you are losing them.
Thank you, Akbar. Yes.